This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
As global demand for soybeans increases, so does the need for soy processing facilities. Reuters points out that U.S. ag cooperatives are building new soybean crushing plants at the fastest rate in two decades. That comes as U.S. farmers again are predicted to plant a record number of soybean acres next year. U.S. processors are expected to open plants with capacity to process at least 120 million bushels of beans in 2019, up around 5% from existing capacity of an estimated 1.9 billion bushels. The industry attributes the boom to the growth worldwide in the number of consumers with income to spend on pork and chicken, which has led to a rapid rise in demand for animal feed products. U.S. soy plantings totaled a record 90.2 million acres this year, and the USDA, in a preliminary forecast, set plantings next year at 91 million acres. Well, the European Union is setting up potential reasons to reject Bayer Ag's takeover of Monsanto. This week, the EU is expected to send Bayer a so-called statement of objections that lists potential reasons for the EU to block the $66 billion proposal. Bloomberg News reports regulators are looking very carefully at the competition issues in the combination of Bayer and Monsanto to make sure farmers still have choice and affordable prices, both when it comes to seeds and pesticides. A precise list of objections, however, should allow Bayer and Monsanto the opportunity to address and correct issues of concern by the regulators. Representatives from Bayer and Monsanto met with EU regulators last week and are said to be in regular contact with EU officials. And speaking of Monsanto, dicamba training classes are being offered at several local locations this week. President of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, Gene Payne, says this is the first time there has been such a large amount of training required, and she's been impressed with the interest in meetings so far.
Katie, I've been overwhelmed at the response to the training. We've had a lot of people come. Friday night in Champaign, Illinois, we trained over 200 farmers at a single event. And the events in your area this week at Hamel and Girard in Jerseyville are also very well attended. CHS at Shipman Elevator is hosting those. So I'm very happy that the farmers are paying attention and getting this training done and out of the way and not waiting till the last minute to do it.
Yes, well, it's great to hear that you've had such a good response. And, yes, three meetings right at home here in our WSMI listening area for farmers that would like to attend those. And, Gene, you know, dicamba was a hot topic this growing season. I think we learned a lot as an ag industry, farmers and agronomists and ag professionals. So at these meetings, you know, what is going to be discussed just to give farmers kind of an idea of what the conversation is going to be like?
Okay. Well, first of all, Katie, what will be discussed is all the new things on the label. This label is different than last year's label. So there's record-keeping requirements. There are tank clean-out requirements. There are new wind speed requirements. There are new buffer requirements. A lot of considerations that the trainers will go through. But they're also going to incorporate discussions on proper weed management overall, discussions about which fields are good candidates for dicamba and which are not. The various issues of what they learned from last year. The training lasts about 90 minutes, and it can be longer than that if there's a lot of questions, and I think we've been happy that the attendees have asked a lot of questions based on their experience and getting to understand this label. And I think one of the things that we want to stress is that with this label being very restrictive for the applicators and the record-keeping requirements being a new part of it, there's going to be a very narrow window to apply this product. And people from a stewardship standpoint need to recognize what those narrow windows are. And if a farmer who plants a seed and just sort of takes for granted the fact that his applicator is going to get the job done, they need to also understand that the applicators are going to have to be a lot more particular about when they can apply this product. So the word no is probably going to come up a lot in 2018 if there's not a suitable day to apply, because any off-target movement is a violation of the Pesticide Act.
But obviously, all precautions that are being taken for the right reasons, it's important to follow those rules that are on the label.
Yes, because right now, one of the new things is that you have to be a certified applicator to apply this product. It is restricted use, which means it's only going to be in the hands of the people that are already licensed and trained. And then this training is on top of the training they've already taken in order to get their certified applicator license, whether they're a farmer or a commercial dealer. So that raises the seriousness of this, because violations of the label on restricted use pesticides kind of fall into a more serious category than a general use pesticide.
Gene, with your work with the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, have you been through anything like this before, where we've got a new product that comes out, have some issues, and then we have restrictions to the label and changes happen? You know, is there anything like this that has occurred before?
We've had similar things, but not to this scope, Katie. Back when the atrazine label was changed in the mid-90s and the rate was lowered and setbacks from potable water supplies were put in there, we did a lot of training. But I think that in the difference this year is that in the mid-90s, there wasn't as much Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and a general awareness. There was not an anti-GMO movement. There was not the sensitivity about chemical use that there is today. And people's radar is definitely up on dicamba, not just farmers with other sensitive soybeans, but also homeowners, nursery growers, orchard people. They're all going to be very cognizant of watching for chemical drift. And I think that's the difference, and the scope of this is so much more public and so much more impacting the industry as a whole, because if we don't use this product right in 2018, US EPA may very well not relabel it for future use. And then we have all this soybean technology out there that's resistant to dicamba and nothing legal to use on it beyond 2018 if we don't do a better job this year.
Right. Well, and I think it's a great point that you bring up with social media. Everybody knows almost everything, or you can see it on Facebook, whether you are involved directly with agriculture or not. So a great point, Gene. For these trainings, is this certifying someone to be able to use the product? Is it just kind of a class to educate people?
Well, the new label says, Katie, that if you're going to apply it, whether you're the person that bought it from the ag retailer and is going to apply it, or you're going to put your employee in the spray rig, the person in the spray rig and the person has to be trained. That is a requirement of the label. When you make your record of application, you have to include your proof of training as part of that record. So you will get your certificate for dicamba training at these meetings, and that's the only place you can get your certificate. You have to go to one of these approved classes. So that certificate is not going to be on your license. It's going to have to be kept by you, the applicator, and so you're responsible for it. And if the Department of Ag ever gets a phone call and is asked to investigate a field that looks like there was chemical drift, they will probably come back and say, what training class did you go to? Let me see your proof of training. And that's why it's vital that the applicators have that.
So you mentioned three very close to home. Gene, would you mind giving us those locations and the times of those meetings?
Yes, I sure can. And we have a website called Illinois Dicamba Training. You can probably just put it in your browser and find it. But the first one is tomorrow at the Hamel Community Building in Hamel at 10 a.m. That afternoon, they're having another one at 3 o'clock at McClintock Steakhouse in Girard. And on the 13th, which is Wednesday, they're having a 11:30 a.m. class at DJ's Grill in Jerseyville. And I'd really like to thank the folks at CHS Shipman for organizing these venues and allowing people to come to them free of charge, I might add, to get their training.
Yes, definitely a great opportunity, and thanks to those folks for offering for farmers in this area. Gene, you mentioned the website. There are going to be other trainings, if you can't make it to these, more opportunities.
There will be, but I will tell you, if you can get to one of these, then you should go, because it may be February or even March before we get back there. There are some opportunities in the Springfield area again, and some maybe further south of where you guys are at. But we're doing our best to cover the state, but no one should assume that on any given day you can go anywhere you want, because the number of trainers is limited, and we have to use those trainers' time as best as we can and get as big of crowds as we can to get as many people covered. And I'll leave it with this, Katie. In Illinois, we have about 15,000 certified pesticide applicators. So even if half of those people want to apply dicamba, that's 7,000 people that have to be trained this winter. So to your question about scope, we have never had that kind of scope of training before.
Gene Payne, president of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.